Powerful song, ain't it? Powerful song. If we'll just believe and stop listening to the world and to the devil tell you what a failure, what an embarrassment you are, and that you don't know about love, you don't know about the things that God wants you to have. If we'll just put him in his place and just admit to ourselves and to him, I may be all those things, but have you heard about my God? Amen. Have you heard about him and what he does for me today? In the book of Ezekiel is where we'll be reading from, in the 18th chapter, if you'd like to open your Bibles and go there with us this morning and pray for us for the time that we be before you, that God will just give us the anointing, that we would be able to bring a word today that will bless his people and also bring those that are without God to the knowledge of knowing him as their Lord and Savior. Ezekiel 18. Start reading at verse 1 down through and including verse 4. Ezekiel, one of the major prophets, wrote this to us, that the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And stop reading verse 4. And I'd like to bring to you a message this morning entitled, God's Justice. God's Justice. The prophet is telling us that in the past, Israel, all the children were what they were because of their fathers. In fact, the scripture says that the sins of the father would go to the third and the fourth generation. Everything that the father did wrong, Ray, it would just migrate forward to the future generations. But the prophet come to bring us a word that no more would the children have to pay the price for the sins of the father. But now we all would stand for ourselves. And he said, and the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The soul that sinneth. The Bible teaches us that going all the way back into Genesis and Exodus, that in the beginning, God gave there to Moses as they was making their exodus out and come into a land that had been sworn unto their fathers, that God met with Moses and gave him the law. The law that would be a schoolmaster unto us today. The law that would bring us to the knowledge of sin and what sin really is. And God's definition of sin is different than what the world's definition is today. And I'll stand by God's definition, won't you? See, the law condemns man or condemns the many kinds of offenses and that we may encounter or may do along life's journey, and it also helps us to understand what sin is in full detail. Because sin, the Bible tells us that the times may have changed, but what was sin for our forefathers is still sin today. If we go back and we read the law, And many of you know that we have the law here on the wall. And you say, those 10 commandments aren't that hard to keep. But I want to remind you that the Bible says that there has not been, nor is there today, a man or woman that can keep the law in all of its fullness. None of us could. And because of that, and those laws, the scripture says that if we have broken one part of the law, we are guilty of it all. And I want to expound for just a moment even deeper, that we look at these Ten Commandments and we think, that really isn't that hard. But I want to remind you this morning, or teach to us today, that this is just one part of the law. The law in its fullness had over 445 laws. 2,277 commandments. I have, when I look at this, I think, Lord, I'm guilty. But then when I hear that the law was even more in-depth than this, that there was 445 laws or 2,277 commandments, I think, Lord, there's no way I could keep all of that. Because even simple things that was against the law, you and I would fail on a daily basis. And God's justice said, if a man or woman breaks the law, he or she shall surely die. That was God's justice. And I encourage you sometimes to go back and to begin there at Exodus, the 20th chapter, and see, start reading all the law and all that it has in it. And understand that there was a consequence for every law that was broken. There was a consequence. When you broke the law, and you say, how would I know the law at that time? Because the law was read before the people so that they would know what was wrong and what was right in the eyes of God. And when they had done wrong, they had to bring offerings unto the priest to offer up for an atonement for their sin. Bible says that if you broke the law, death was imminent. There was laws for everything. From the point of how you treated one another, to how your relationship was with God, to how your relationship would be in society. Laws that covered every aspect. And I won't read all 445. And somebody is saying amen. Because it would be very in-depth. But as I began to study and I read through these things, the laws that God set forth, I thought, man, if only we would put these back in our society today, we would not have the problems that we have today. And a lot of people would be dead. And you say, Roger, are you promoting death? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If a man lieth with a man, death. If a woman lieth with a woman, death. If a man struck a woman that was with child and she lost a child, it could mean all the way up to death. It would depend upon her husband and what the judges would say about the consequences. If you injured one of your servants And there was even a consequence for carelessness. How many of us has ever broken anything out of carelessness? Some of you are looking around this morning. There was laws that covered everything. And there was a recompense or a judgment that had to take place for the breaking of those laws. You see, the laws brought us to the knowledge of sin. People don't get saved unless they understand that sin is in their life. God's justice would prevail in our world today if people really feared God. But we don't fear God like we should. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 3 and 4 that all sin robs God and man. You say, how does it rob God? God has got a storehouse of blessings for His children. And anytime there's sin, it cuts off those blessings that God is able to give to us, and it robs man because we are no longer in the position to receive those gifts from God. You see, how many of us have given gifts to our kids or grandkids when they really didn't deserve them? The kids are saying, they're listening to see who's going to say amen this morning. See, God's justice is this. If you've done wrong, I'm going to cut off your blessings. If you failed me in one part, I'm going to cut off your blessings and your blessings. How many of us know that the blessings upon me affects Becky? And the blessings upon Becky affects me. And it affects our children and our grandchildren. In fact, it affects everybody around us. As we took up that offering this morning, the special offering, and I noticed many of you was able to open your purse or your wallet and be able to give. You see, that's a blessing that God has given to you. It's a blessing to be able to give. And the consequence for not obeying God and being in the Lord is you don't have it to give. And I know that there are dire situations that comes into our lives that changes our ability to give or not to give along the way. But I believe in a God that when we keep His law, He rewards us openly and in secret. How many of you have been blessed by God since you've tried to live a good Christian life? Amen? The Bible teaches us today that in the book of Ephesians in the 2nd chapter that the consequence for sin is eternal death and separation from God. It comes with a penalty. You say God must not be a loving God. God is a loving God. But God cannot look over sin as is being taught in so many pulpits across our country today. When there is sin, there is a penalty that is attached to it. You can't do wrong and expect God to continue to bless you in all aspects of your life. But how many of us know that because we have given our heart and life to God and we try to live as close as we possibly can, that God has given us more than we could ever hope for in life, but also in the spiritual realm, that we're able to lay down upon our bed at night and say, if I don't see the dawning of another day, God has promised me that I've got a better home waiting for me than what I have on this side of the river. God is a loving God. But God says, you must keep my commandments. You must keep them. Many of us remember when the commandments was on the wall in the schoolhouse. And we didn't have the tragedies that we have today. Amen? Many of us remember in the courthouses that the law was there on the wall. And men and women feared what the law would do to them. You know, all of our laws come from His law. Well, I should say the beginning of our laws come from His law. And there are still laws that are on the book that align with God's word, but we don't enforce them. If we did, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we have today. How many of you know sin brings problems? It brings problems because it cuts off the blessing of God upon man and upon each other. In the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, he says it like this: God in days past winked at the ignorance of man, but now commandeth men everywhere to repent. You say, I don't know the law. Yes, you do. How many of you knew what was right and wrong before you ever got saved? And you say, I was taught it. I was given the example at home. You see, at home before we ever got saved, we was taught what was right and what was wrong. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. Right? You shall have no other gods before our God. And I'm just mentioning a few of them. And you say, why is that so important? It's important because in our homes today, the law is not being taught, and our homes are falling apart because we've annihilated God from being taught there. And not just our homes are falling apart, but we have no sense of moral conduct because we have not the law being taught to us. People say, Roger, it sounds like our country is getting in better shape. Divorce rate is way down. It's way down because they're not getting married. As my grandfather and them would say, they're just shacking up. And some of you say, Roger, this is Sunday morning. While we think everything is going good, could you imagine what God is looking down and thinking of our homes and our country and our churches? Lloyd made mention of it about churches in Sunday school this morning. I think most of them, God would say, I will spew you out of my mouth because you don't teach the word. One thing that I am very proud of, people talk about the love, they talk about the fellowship here at Mount Carmel. You know what I am more thankful for is that we have people that want to hear about God, preach the word of God, and no matter if we like it or we don't like it, preach on the word of God because it will spare us from God's justice. God is not like our courtrooms today. God said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Right? Some of you Bible readers say amen. But it was even more than that. It was a hand for a hand or a foot for a foot, a burning for a burning, a wound for a wound, and a stripe for a stripe. You say, man, God is mean. No, God said, you want to be blessed? Do unto your neighbor as you would have your neighbor do unto you. Amen. Amen. If you strike somebody, you're going to get a strike back. If you blind somebody, you're going to be blind. You know what the law did? It encouraged people to walk a straight line. Because if you got out of the bounds of it, justice would call. And when justice called, there was a penalty that had to be paid. The Bible teaches us today that we are no longer under the law. What do we do with that? If we're not under the law, why do you tell us about all these things that the law said, all 445 of them? Why do you tell us about all the 2,000 plus commandments that's attached to it? Because to bring us to the knowledge of this, that if we were still under the law, every one of us would be damned to a devil's hell for all eternity. And there'd be no way of getting out. Even those that praised the Lord when Moses told them about the commandments and said, don't let God come down and talk to us because we've seen the thundering and the lightnings. Moses said, God said unto them, I will talk through Moses to you. But today, God does not talk through man to tell you what you should or should not do. How many of you have had a conversation with God this week? Right? And you know why God annihilated the priesthood as we know it today? Because he sent a true priest after the order of Melchizedek. So some of you want the preacher to preach this morning. He sent a priest that was above all the other priests. Not just a priest, but a king that would come in the form of Jesus Christ. And look what's happening to the priesthood today. You know what God would say? And you just take it up with the Lord this morning. You know what God would say? You hurt one of those little children? You're going to have to answer to me. You're going to have to answer to me. The Pope may say, look the other way. The Archbishop may say, look the other way. God says, oh no. There's going to be a repayment required. And still today, we may not be under the law, but the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to the knowledge of sin that we may know right from wrong, and we would want to not do wrong because of God's judgment that's coming to everyone that does not obey his word. You say, is there really judgment coming? Judgment, the Bible says, begins at the house of the Lord. Not in the school system, not by our government, but in the house of the Lord. We are taught what the law is, and we may not be able to recite every part of the law, and certainly it's hard enough to recite the Ten Commandments. Amen? But God says, you live according to my word. And when I began to study and I read all these things or refreshed my mind about these things, I thought, Lord, I would be in trouble. I would. Because how many of you cut through the apartment complex this morning on your way to church? Raise your hand and confess. Did you know there's a sign there that says no throughfare? How many of us broke the law? You say, Roger, that's so simple. What does it hurt if I cut through there and there's a sign there that says, don't do it? You know why they do that? Because they paid for that asphalt. And the more cars that go through there, one, they'll have to make some fixes along the way. And we're not going to contribute one dime toward it. Right? And it's their kids that's out there playing. So I got a bunch of lawbreakers in the house of the Lord this morning. The preacher included. You say, well, why would we listen to a preacher that breaks the law as much as we do? God help us all. God help us all. That's just a simple illustration. You know what man says? Show me a law and I'll break it. I'll break it. Our penal system is full of people that are incarcerated because they saw a law and they had no regard for that law. Now, I do want to be just totally transparent this morning. I believe that there are some people that's incarcerated that are innocent. They're innocent. But circumstances put them there. People put them there. And there are people that are on the outside that should be in there. Former president, secretary of state, FBI director, CIA director. And you say, Roger, you're being judgmental. If I or you did anything that they did, we would be in jail. Martha Stewart went to jail for giving false information one time. And she had to go to jail. And I'm not asking you to say amen. I'm not asking you to say praise the Lord. But how many of us know that if all the things we'd done in our past had caught up with us, we would be there? I got a couple, amen. Some of you this morning don't want to confess. You see, in our system today, if you have money, you can get out from underneath the problem. But God says, not so. Because what are we going to bribe God with? We have nothing to offer Him. Nothing whatsoever. He said here that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die and be separated from God for all eternity. But I'm glad that He didn't let the story end there. Because in the book of Romans, it tells us that we are not under the law, but we are under the grace plan. Amen. You know what the grace plan is? Jesus came. He broke down the middle wall partition so that we would no longer have to go through man to get to God. But now we could go right to the throne room of God and say, Lord, it's me. And I failed you. I believe we got some folks this morning that need to confess to God. I don't know which part of all those laws that I broke, but I'm sure that I broke some of them. And I need forgiveness. Some of you today have never asked God for forgiveness of your sin. You know what the Bible says about unconfessed sin? Unconfessed sin will haunt you. It will stay with you. It's not on your trail, but it's with you on this trail. Walking each and every day. I hear people talk about that, I just can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself. Or they won't forgive somebody else for what they did. And you know what? If God forgives us, we ought to forgive ourselves. Amen? And if God forgives us, what we ought to say to those that's harmed us in the past, I may not like it, I don't appreciate it, but I forgive you because Christ forgave me. Christ brought the grace plan. The grace plan came with the law, all of the law built upon two commandments. And that was, if I can paraphrase, number one, to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and soul. Number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. And you say, he took all 400 and some laws and put it into those two? And how many of us, we say, I have no problem loving God. Right? But let me be a pastor for a few minutes. Where are you at? The rest of the services. Oh, Baptist church got quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Right? Where are you at when it comes to the point of loving your neighbor as yourself? You say things to people that you would not want people to say to you. Somebody say amen. We look at ourselves and say, I overcome. Why can't they overcome? And God is saying, who helped you to overcome? You know, Lloyd made mention in Sunday school, sometimes we get so high to look at what I've done. Look what I've amassed. Did you know everything you have, you could lose it tomorrow? Everything. If God called justice, we'd be living underneath an overpass somewhere. Some of you ain't hearing the preacher on a Sunday morning. But God is merciful that when we come before Him and say, Lord, forgive me, instead of extracting justice, He gives us mercy, because He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. And He does not want to see us die and go to a devil's hell. But He wants us to see, He wants to see us have life and have an abundant life with everything we have need of. Praise His holy name. I'm not lacking in any part of my life. I don't brag on the Lord. I have more than I have need of. And yesterday when I was out there working in the yard, I thought, Lord, why did I want a yard? Amen? And some of us, you know, we grew up on farms and we get later in life and we say, you know, I'd like to have a few acres. Now I look at it and I say, Lord, thank you that you didn't answer that prayer. Amen? Because sometimes we ask God for things ignorantly. We think, Lord, that'll make me happy. And God's saying, if you're not happy with what you've got, you wouldn't be happy with everything you want. Oh, that'll preach. God's already given us everything. How many know you're saved today? And you know that God did not require justice from you, but He offered mercy and grace to us, because He is a merciful God and He loves us today. And even when we do wrong, some of you want me to say God will look over it. No. How many of you has ever been whipped by God because of your disobedience? Somebody else. In fact, several of y'all. I'm going to ask the question one more time. And I want you to search out your heart. How many of us have been whipped by God because of our disobedience? And you know why He whips us? Because He loves us. I remember growing up, I'm going to close. I remember growing up and Dad and Mom whipping us, Brother David, and they saying things like, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I only do this because I love you. And I thought, man, I wish they didn't love me this much. And I promise you, it's not going to hurt you as bad as it's going to hurt me. But then when we had our own children, oh, the pain that was associated. And still to this day, when one of the grandkids get in trouble, I have to just walk away and go out in the garage or somewhere, because if it was me, I'd say, oh, just let them along. They're all right. But I wouldn't have let them alone for my own child. Because you know what the Bible says? Spare the rod and spoil the child. Some of you kids are saying, Roger, preach on a different subject matter. God's justice is not like ours. And that when we do wrong, some of you today know that you have done wrong. Some of you know that you've never asked God for forgiveness. You say, Roger, I'm saved. That's all that matters. No, there was two parts of those new commandments. How we treat others, we are responsible for. There are times that I like to just give people a piece of my mind. But instead, I just bite my tongue and walk away. You say, you're so weak. No, I think it's better to reserve what you're going to say, think about it, and ask God to take care of it. Because if we speak what we say, what we're going to do is we're going to hurt somebody's feelings with our anger and frustration. See, I normally don't say anything until I get frustrated. Somebody help me in the house of the Lord. And then it's the wrath of Roger. You guys see me as this nice guy. Others see the other side as well. But then I have to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to fulfill your law. Today, if you've never asked God for forgiveness of your sin, if you was to die, you would go to hell for eternity. There'd be no escape for you. You say, but God is a loving God. That's why he's given you the opportunity that you have this morning. While Rob and Sharon get us a song, he gives you an opportunity to get right, and you ought to take advantage of it. You say, but I'm young, I've not really done anything. We all have sin in our life because of our forefather Adam. It comes to every one of us. You don't have to teach a kid how to lie. Am I preaching the truth? You don't have to teach a kid how to lie. By the time that they know how to talk, they know how to lie. In fact, even before that, because sometimes they'll cry like they're starving to death, and they ain't hungry at all. All they want is for you to hold them. You say, well, that's really not a lie. Yeah, it is. It is. Every one of us, no matter how young you are, you have enough sin in your body to kill you and to take you to hell for eternity. But Jesus said, instead of showing justice, I want to show mercy. How many of us was on the mercy end of God? We don't have to worry about all those other things that they had to keep. But yet, if we keep those two, we keep all 400. Because all those 400 are encompassed in those two. This morning, aren't you glad you're living under the grace plan? Only two. But yet, we can't even keep those two. Lord, help us. Some of you this morning may be Christians and you just need to ask God to help you in your Christian life that you might be able to keep those two better than you have in the past. And you're condemned about it. You're condemned about it because you want to do better. But the carnal man or woman interjects. How many of you said stuff and you wish that you could go back and take it back? You can't do it, right? But what you can do is say, from this day forward, I'm going to try to be more patient and not share my thought or my opinion, because we have opinions on every subject matter, do we not? We have opinions. But what we ought to do is say, Lord, is this a right time to share it? Is this a right time to state it? And would I want somebody saying that to me? You know, we're good at giving. We're just not very good at receiving. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This morning while we stand, I ask you, where do you stand with God? Would God say justice is required in your life? While right now He's offering mercy, tonight or tomorrow, it might be justice instead of mercy. God bless you while they sing. You examine your heart. I surrender. Anybody else that would like to come and pray? Bless Him today. Others that need to make that step this morning. Not justice. But God, be merciful to us. For we're sinners. Sing on, Robbie. Follow your heart today. I surrender it all. Surely others need to move this morning. Yes, surrender it all to Him. You know, in this world today, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. And I'm afraid that some of that same thought process has filtered into the church. Folks, this is not a competition. Not a competition. We want to get everybody in because that's God's plan. God's plan is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Another scripture says it like this, and this promise is unto you and unto your children, even to those that are far off, as many that shall call upon the Lord, He'll give you what you have need of today. Amen? God is good. I appreciate your prayers this morning. I appreciate the service. And what a blessing it has been to be to His house. And I don't want y'all to forget, we have service tonight at 6 o'clock. I want you all to come out and be with us. Sarah, you got a friend with you this morning. I skipped over. Tell us. Yeah. All right. Good to have you with us, brother. And come back and be with us each and every time that you can. Let's fellowship one with another. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. And make sure you stop by and thank Lisa for all of the work. I mean, that girl did not stop. I felt guilty sitting out there by the campfire and her in the camper working. I'm just being open. I did. And, you know, it just bothered me. But I know that we got some Marthas amongst us. And right? She worked hard. And her sister said, Lord, why don't you, or she told the Lord, why don't you tell my sister, come help me? I should have told one of your sisters to come help you. Better yet, I should have, right? God bless her and Emerson. Have a great afternoon. Get you a good meal, get you a nap if you need it, and come back tonight to worship the Lord.